The latest Jeopardy! Sensation has amassed $102,800 on a four-game winning streak. But his playing style is making traditionalists shudder. Arthur Chu has rejected the unwritten rule that the guy or gal with the most facts wins and replaced it with the appalling idea that you can outwit your opponent with the wily application of game theory.
A flurry of tweets and postings like, "This is the face of a Jeopardy villain," and "No respect for Jeopardy tradition."
Jeopardy fans are labeling a new champion whose game-winning tactic involves playing mind games on his opponents.
Arthur Chu says he just did what anyone would do who learned they were going on Jeopardy.
Literally, I hung up the phone and I Googled Jeopardy strategy. There's a group of fans who maintain the Jeopardy archive, the J archive, which is all the transcripts of all the past games that have ever been played. There's a blog called The Final Wager, where he takes apart the wagering strategy in Final Jeopardy every night of Jeopardy and talks about the game theoretical aspects of it.
Among the things you encountered, I guess, when you were online was the Forrest Bounce, coined by Chuck Forrest in 1985. The Forrest Bounce refers to bouncing around the categories. So let's listen to some tape of that.
Plants and Trees, 2000.
When fully hydrated, this iconic cactus of the Sonoran Desert, Carnegiea gigantea, may weigh more than 6 tons. Arthur.
Or the saguaro.
The saguaro, yes.
Sigh of relief, 2000.
This term refers to all the material enclosed within a cell membrane, except for the nucleus. Arthur.
What is the cytoplasm?
Right.
31 Days of Oscar, 2000.
For each of your turns, you chose a different category, and you would choose the highest value question each time instead of starting from the cheap question the way that people usually do.
If I stay in one category, it gives my opponents the chance to get used to the category and the chance to figure out the pattern and maybe get an answer before me. So the only way to keep an advantage when you've got one in the game is you use that one edge that you have, the power to choose the next question, and you pick something your opponents aren't expecting.
And another advantage to jumping to the bottom of a category, I guess, was revealed to you by the IBM Jeopardy playing computer Watson, that the two bottom rows of the board are most likely to contain the daily doubles, and whoever gets the most daily doubles is most likely to win.
Daily doubles are one of the few other points you have the power to change the outcome of the game. And it's not just the power to get one that you know and double up your score, it's the power to deny it from your opponents to make sure they can't double up their score. So if I don't know one, then I'll bet a very small amount, which is what got a lot of attention when I bet $5 on a sports question.
Sports 1000.
Answer. Daily double. You can see the score. Eric and Carolyn tied for the lead at $3,800. You're trailing them by $400 only.
$5.
$5. Oh, don't feel confident in sports. All right, here is the clue. Eddie Jackman, Herb Brooks, Conn Smythe.
I don't know.
There was an article in Salon that took the measure of how different you were from, say, Ken Jennings, who is the greatest Jeopardy champ ever. Obviously, you're not anywhere close to his 74-game winning streak. What bothers people is you don't win like he did. You're not buzzing more quickly than your opponents. You don't know more answers to the daily doubles. That you've made this a game of timing and strategy rather than cramming your head with possible answers to questions makes them feel like you're disrespecting the game, in your words.
I would just say we are playing for really very high stakes. I can't justify to myself or my wife leaving money like that on the table out of some aesthetic sense to please Jeopardy viewers. The other thing is Jeopardy is interesting because it's not just a test. Merv Griffin, when he first created Jeopardy, there weren't any daily doubles. There was no Final Jeopardy wagering. The game back then was called What's the Question?
Mm-hmm.
And when he was trying to pitch the game to Hollywood producers, they said, this game needs more Jeopardies. And that's why the game is called Jeopardy, because he injected these elements where the outcome of the game suddenly becomes unpredictable. There becomes strategy and decisions.
As you went through some of those angry tweets, leaving aside the purely ad hominem racist ones, what was the greatest source of indignation? Simply that you were, quote, undermining the integrity of the game?
That was part of it. Because people had a sense that this was unsportsmanlike, people attributed other things to me, saying that I was rude because I was so intent on getting to the next question, I would accidentally talk over Alex, or like I was disrespecting my fellow contestants by glaring at them when they were answering. Really what it was I wanted to keep paying attention to what they were saying, because a big part of Jeopardy is getting that rebound. If they get it wrong, you get a chance to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true that the first thing in my mind was gameplay, and my self-presentation was much lower down on the list. Jeopardy is a very artificial environment in which to encounter someone with very different incentives from day-to-day life. It's not like if I met you at a cocktail party or met you socially. So don't judge what someone's like as a person because of how they act on a TV game show competing for life-changing amounts of money.
It's war out there.
Yeah.
So you're back on Jeopardy in a couple of weeks. I hope we get to keep watching you, Arthur. I like some naked ambition up there.
Thank you.
Arthur Chu, 4-time Jeopardy champion, will be back later this month. We spoke to him from WCPN in Cleveland.
That's it for this week's show. On the Mediums, produced by Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurkhman, Chris Neary, Laura Mayer, Mira Sharma, and Alana Casanova-Burgess. We had more help from Kimmy Regular, and our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn. We just have to take a moment here to recognize the outstanding Mr. Dunn. He's been filling in for Jen while she was on maternity leave, and he did yeoman's work. Andrew, thanks a million.
Yes, indeed. You steered the ship through some mighty difficult weather. Thank you, Andrew. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can follow us on Twitter, and really you should. It's a dynamite source of media news, from the vital to the bizarre, kind of like peeking into OTM's id. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.